19. This one makes it vivid. How you bring harm to yourself if you're a sluggard. The way of a sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway. The point is, if you're going the way that a sluggard goes, it's like trying to go down a path that has all kinds of briars across it, thorns. And as you try to pass along, if you try to go down this path that has all these briars on it, you're going to get pricked. You're going to get cut. You're going to get stuck. It's a picture of the pain, the obstacles you face, the pain you experience and that you bring on yourself if you're guilty of the sin of sloth. The second consequence is this. Not only will you bring harm to yourself, but you will cause harm to others. You will cause harm to others if you're guilty of this sin. Look at chapter 10, verse 26. Chapter 10, verse 26. Like vinegar to the teeth. If you want to know what that's like, go home and try it. It's not pleasant. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. We've experienced that one possibly. So is the sluggard to those who send him. That is, those who are depending on him and have given him an assignment. He'll cause them harm because he won't do it. He won't complete it. He won't accomplish it. That's the point. And then chapter 18, verse 9. One last reference before we wrap this up. Proverbs 18, verse 9. Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. Now, how does that work? How is someone who does nothing, or at least not what he's supposed to do, like a person who actively destroys something? Because that's what this is saying. You're a brother if you're a sluggard. You're a brother to the one who destroys. Here's what he's saying. Sluggards ultimately take more than they give. They take more than they give. They consume more than they produce. And so while the destroyer destroys, the sluggard drains. He takes rather than giving. He takes more than he gives. And so ultimately he's doing the same thing. Because in the end, there's going to be less. There's depletion of what is good and what is needed. Whether you destroy it or whether you just deplete it because you take more than you give, then you end up causing harm to others. You see, everything we do has directionality. That's what the book of Proverbs is showing us quite often. And in this case, it's saying this. Listen, the direction of your life, if you're guilty of the sin of sloth consistently, is toward destruction and death. Otherwise, the other path is the direction goes in the direction of life and constructive and building. Which path are you on? That's the big question this morning. Which path are you on? And we've said that Jesus is the path of wisdom and that Jesus is the person of wisdom. And so ultimately, it's about Jesus. It's about following Jesus. So what do you do this morning if you say, okay, this is a sin I struggle with, or this is something I want to grow. This is a category where I see the need for change in my life. What do I do? What do I do? Do you read another how-to article on being productive? No. That's not the best thing to do. Here's what you do. You stay connected to what motivates you if you are a true believer, and that is the gospel. You stay connected to what motivates you if you're a believer. And the thing that motivates you if you're a believer is the gospel, what Christ has done. Here's what I would say. If sloth is passionlessness, then what do you need? You need passion. Well, where does that come from? It comes from God. It comes to us when God is the biggest in our life. When he is the biggest thing in our life. And so because of our passion for his will and for his glory, we're motivated. We're passionate to do the things that are according to God's will, the things that God wills, the things that bring glory to God. So you pray. God. Give me passion. Give me your passion. Give me passion for you. Give me passion for your will. Give me passion for your glory. Give me passion for you. And along with that, meditate on Jesus' passion. Meditate on Jesus' suffering and death, referred to often as his passion. Why? Because he had such a passion for God's will that he was willing to drink the cup for you and for me. He was willing to sweat. He was willing to suffer. He was willing to sacrifice because God and God's will and God's glory was bigger than himself. And so as we reflect on what Jesus did, dying for our sins, when we reflect on Jesus' passion, it gives us the kind of passion that enables us to be the kind of people Proverbs calls us to be